Welcome to Perfectly Sane Show, episode 508. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Welcome to the podcast that will talk about nothing but Total War games all day long.
Oh, no. Jeff.
Is this a drinking game? Because
Jeff is here. His connection is immediately going bad.
Is it really?
Like, no, I'm just the joke from this morning where Earl said his internet would go bad if we talked about Total War. Jeff is here.
Don't scare me like this.
And Earl is here as well.
You know, I might be coming down with something if we do talk about Total War. I'm just going to excuse myself ahead of time. I apologize.
I mean, we'll give Tony his strategy time. Everyone gets to talk about their games. But we won't spend the whole episode talking about the $60 free game that Sega gave away for free on the Epic Store today. Well, I guess that is the brand new game.
It is.
Tony, have you played any of it yet?
I played like half an hour of it. I don't know. These games are... So it's not a brand new Total War game. It's a Saga game, and the Saga series are based on like an older engine.
Okay.
So it's not like utterly new out of the box, and it kind of feels a little old and a little dated, a little janky. I don't know. It's more Total War. I need to play more of it. It's got like a really classic ancient Greek feel. Like the map is all done in like old Greek characters and that kind of thing.
It's kind of cool.
It's
Total War Saga Troy, right? Or Troy, yep. Total War Saga. So it's about the Trojan War, I would assume.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Anything
else? Does it bring in any of like the
Mythological stuff?
Yeah.
So it's all real people and there's nothing in it that's like, you're not going to see actual minotaurs and stuff. Everything is like inspired by. So like, if the game, you'll meet the minotaur, and the minotaur will be like a human wearing like bull's horns. So, you know, that stuff is fine.
It's traditionally been like, outside of the Warhammer stuff, it's traditionally
right.
been a more serious.
Always been. Yes.
Like historical, like straight, like. So,
This is back to that.
Okay.
Now that said, the game does have like religious elements. So, for instance, you can build temples to certain gods and get blessed by those gods, and that will give you certain abilities in battle. There are also hero units. So, like, you'll have like Agamemnon or Achilles. Will be there,
okay.
And you'll be able to have them in battle and fight with them. The only thing is, like, they are actual, you know, humans. So, again, while they may be more powerful, they'll still act like people and die like people.
I claimed it. I don't know if my PC will actually run it.
Yeah.
But
it's like I said, it's an older engine, so if you could run I don't know. I think it's like based on the Total War Attila engine, which is older. It's like 7 years old by now.
Yeah, I mean, so I think my PC can play that one, so I mean, it's not,
yeah.
my PC is about 7 years old at this point,
yeah.
So
but I mean, the game just feels like, after having played so much Total War Warhammer 2 and so much Total War 3 Kingdoms, it feels slow. It feels janky. I don't. Maybe it's the lower frames per second. Maybe it's something like that. It just feels older. I also remember the last Total War Saga game, Total War Saga Britannia, being like the absolute worst and least memorable Total War game. Oh. So it wouldn't surprise me if this game was from a similar vein. And going back to that old engine, you miss a lot of the stuff that makes the newer games cool, because they just can't do it. So, I don't know. I'm hoping it's interesting, but it's probably more like a step back in time to older Total War games.
Right. I mean, you'll probably still find fun with it, but maybe newer Total War fans might not.
Right. Well, I mean, or it'd be a good like jumping in point, because this game would be less complicated than, say, Total War Warhammer 2 would be.
Got it.
Because you know there aren't dragons dropping from the sky and like meteors dropping on people. It's just, you know, standard fighting.
So, fun fact for Jeff, I don't know if this one is specifically, I don't know if this was designed by Creative Assembly, but they are, you know, the historical custodians of the Total War brand.
Yeah.
They also made Alien Isolation.
Yeah, yeah, I know that. Yeah, it was I remember trying to like push Alien Isolation on Tony because of that.
I think they have Creative Assembly has like 4 teams now.
Yeah, they're a huge studio.
Just, you know, real quick aside, I think that Alien Isolation is like super underrated. Like,
oh, it's a great game.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, great horror game. And evidently, their Creative Assembly is working on another Alien game, not necessarily like a sequel to Isolation, but they are working on some sort of tactical alien shooter.
Well, not as interesting. I love to like that game's adherence to being like the first one. Like, it's just like, you know, more of just like a slow horror game.
Yeah,
really cool. Anyways,
what I wouldn't mind out of the Alien franchise is kind of like an XCOM Gears Tactics type game. Like where you control like a squad of Marines fighting the aliens. I think that could be fun.
That could be good.
All right. Well,
I Tony will play that game.
You will play more Total War.
Yes, I will.
Earl?
Yes.
You you played 2 games that everybody was talking about, and everybody, you know, I guess they've stopped talking about the one because it's not available right now, but you've also been playing the big popular new battle royale game, Fall Guys. So, which one do you want to talk about, Fall Guys or the Avengers?
Which one do you folks want to hear about first?
Fall
Avengers.
Guys.
Okay.
Which one do you think you have more to say?
I have more to say about the Avengers, so I'm going to start off with Fall Guys.
Okay.
Because I think Fall Guys...
Rigged.
It's a pretty simple game to kind of... I mean, one, if you have PlayStation Plus right now, I believe it's still free until the end of this weekend. I don't know if it's for the entire month or if it's like... I know they usually do half and half.
Sometimes.
Yes, and it only came out last Friday. Well, that's Tuesday or so. It came out last week, so there's still some time to get it. Fall Guys to me is the battle royale that I would expect Nintendo to have made if they were invested in it. It is essentially kind of like if Mario Party became a free for all. So how it works is the setup is it's kind of like a TV show, it's like a TV competition show. You have a variety of games that you don't necessarily know the order of or which games you're going to get. There's about a dozen and a half games in it. And each round is about, if you make it to the end, it's about 4 to 5 games. And so there's a combination of, you know, a kind of solo adventures and team-based games. And you go through them. And it's stuff as simple as getting to the finish line in a various different courses. Some of these will have, like, spinning wheels. Some of these will have, like, doors you have to go through. Like, you know, certain doors are fake, certain doors. So seesaws. Apparently, nobody knows how seesaws work. Is the meme that's coming out of this? Then there are like team-based games. So there's one that's essentially soccer. There's 2 goals. Whichever team ends up scoring the most wins. There's egg scramble, which is It's kind of a captured flag. What is that old one? Basically, you know, you want to get as many points in your as many eggs in your team's base as possible. My strategy with that one is you don't have to win. You just can't lose because it's three teams, two teams advance. So as long as you're not the bottom advance, so sometimes people will kind of fuss. I'm like, as long as we're kind of in the middle, I don't care. There is like a day race, which is like a team working together to get like a giant ball down to a goal before the other two teams. And then after all that, there's a final round, which is a free for all. And that, again, comes in a variety. There's a crown race, which is Fall Mountain, which you race up the top, and the first person to grab the crown wins. There's Hexagon, which is probably the one you've probably seen the most, which is it's several layers of platforms, and as you step on each tile, it disappears, and the last person left standing wins. There is a Fumble Rumble, which is a tail tag. You grab the tail, the last person with the tail wins. It's pretty straightforward. They kind of pride themselves on that. Like, everything you see and play, you can kind of get within the first go. There are really only three buttons you need to know. R2 is to grab, circle is to jump, and I think square is when you, after you jump, you can dive. Those are all you need to know. And that pretty much works with
everything. On the PlayStation.
No, I'm saying circle is to jump. That seems like a super odd placement. Why not just make it fucking
X? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is X. I think it's circled, though.
Dude, it weirds me out when it's circle on PlayStation, but like for some reason I completely accept that on the Switch. That like
I was gonna say because that would be the A button on the Switch. So
it was just like I like when I'm playing a Nintendo like console, like my mind I guess flips a switch and then goes okay, like this is like the Nintendo layout, but. The Nintendo layout's wrong too, because it should just be the bottom button is your main action. Like, I don't know.
I'm trying to think back to the Super Nintendo, because I always felt like your thumb. Yeah, never mind.
Well, no, you're right, because on Super Nintendo, sometimes, like, when you're going through menus and stuff, B would be to advance. You're right. But, like, in general, since forever, it's just been A is, like, you know, your action button, like, your main.
I will say, oddly enough, it does not bother me with PlayStation. Where it really bothers me is usually when I go between the Switch and the Xbox, because my head, it's not even A, B, it's always my mind doesn't wrap around X and Y being reversed. It's a battle royale. So, I mean, it starts off with 60 people. And you whittle it down. It's not necessarily uniform, though. After a while, you kind of do get the pattern. Like if there is a certain amount of elimination, you kind of know what games are coming up next because of how it situates itself. And then like you buy cosmetics, so you buy different costumes, you buy different patterns for your creatures. You get that like, each game. You get kudos if you win. You get crowns. And I think kudos is also just the in-game currency, so there's only the two of those. I could tell people, like, to me, aesthetically, it reminds me very much of like Splatoon as far as like the music goes, and a lot of the hyper bright, like the Nickelodeon color scheme. So it is bright, but it has a colorful palette that. I think a lot of the games. There are some games which I think are kind of not dumb, but so much of them rely on just kind of like waiting until somebody else does something and then just paddling along. There's one called Tiptoe, which is essentially there's a path you can take that you will get you to the finish line, but like if you don't, you fall off. So what people usually do is they usually wait until somebody else goes. If they fall, they'll try something else. And then once everybody figures out the one pattern, everybody just kind of rushes, makes a mad dash for nine. So it's not fun because you're basically just waiting until somebody else does it for you.
Right.
I've been enjoying it. It's a great game to pick up for like half an hour or an hour, play a couple of rounds. I've won OU1 so far, and that was so exhilarating. And it's free on PlayStation Plus for now. So I would check it out.
Nice.
The price is right. if you have PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The price on Steam is it's $20, so it's not really pushing anybody's wallet. So
I would like if it was on Xbox, I would buy it tonight. I mean, all over it. It just I love that type of game. Like it's gonna sound like an insult, but it's not. Like it the first time I saw it, it reminded me of that Doritos Crash Course game on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Where it's just like I don't know. There's like multiplayer outside of shooters is like underrepresented, I think, in some ways. Like it's just like it looked like something like that. Like just fun. Like anybody could play it. Fucking, I don't know. It totally looked like my jam.
Does look fun. I hope it does come to a Switch and Xbox at some point.
I'll get it on both.
And the other thing, they're also going to be updated with content. They've already added a new mini game today, which I've not seen. I mean, it's a variation of a game that's already in the game, but they added a new thing for the final round, so there will be more variations and more mini games added as they go. So that's a good way to also keep it fresh, because there are things where people have already found like tricks and tips and secrets to get in through certain levels faster or easier.
This is not like a Sony made game though, right? Like this could come down or stuff. Okay.
Yeah. It's out on PC on Steam. It's an indie developer. They just like Rocket League did. Like
Sony Mediatonic, I think their name is.
Yes. I think Sony just rolled up and was like, "Hey, here's some cash. This looks like a fun game for our service. Can we put it out on PlayStation Plus?" And evidently, it's doing very well. So,
yeah, it's done super well, and it's kind of like the social game right now. A lot of people are talking about it. A lot of people are streaming it. It's a big title.
Fun. It's the only PlayStation game that's made me want to hook up my PlayStation. Like Last of Us 2 didn't do that. So, congrats to Fall Guys.
Yeah,
I mean Jeff still hasn't hooked up his PlayStation, but
it made me think about it.
Ghost of Tsushima, Jeff.
It looks fun, but whatever. Like,
okay. And the other game, it's not really a game, I guess. It was a beta, but you played that first week of the Marvel's Avengers beta.
Yes, and I believe it's. Yeah, I don't know if it's live now or if it's. It's. I mean, it's going to be every weekend. I think this weekend the Xbox joins along, and then the next weekend it's an open beta. And I will just say up front, I am also getting a free copy of it as a Verizon. For anybody who hasn't into this now, but I mean, fine, you paying them exorbitant amount of money for cell phone coverage pays off.
So you were able to get one of those 5,000. Copies that they were good, nice.
Yeah, so and I get those fancy Verizon costumes. I'm sure I don't know if we talk about that in news. That is one thing people have been like. I don't know why people will be fuddled by the fact that this has exclusive costumes, but whatever.
Considering everything about this game, everything seems exclusive. Like if you have a Blockbuster membership, there's probably Blockbuster exclusive costumes for the one person in that one store.
don't give them ideas. I'm almost certain we're gonna buy comic books and you get an exclusive code inside of your comic book for a new costume.
So tell us about the Avengers.
What can I say about the Avengers? I can start off with the point that I made in a group chat is that it's better than Anthem, so we don't have to worry about that. So yes, the combat feels fine. I didn't hate myself playing it or anything like that. And I think, it kind of has like the Marvel Ultimate Alliance feel where it's more of a button mashy, beat 'em up type game instead of kind of like a Platinum or like an Arkham type action game. There's stuff that I'm sure once you unlock it later on, it might make the combat a bit more engaging as far as... And I don't want to say it's not engaging. The combat's fine. It's good. I enjoyed myself with it. I feel like this is working up to a giant butt. And it is.
Where's the butt? Show me your butt.
And to me, the giant butt here, and I made this thread on Twitter because I was thinking, like, there was an article in Entertainment Wiki today with the Miles Morales Spider-Man game and this game, and it dawned on me what this game was missing. It's like, you know, like we I think we all played and enjoyed Spider-Man PS4. I think we're all fans of the Arkham games. Mm-hmm. Is that in those games you get to feel like Batman, you get to feel like Spider-Man, and they do it in two very different ways. Like Batman is a very much, especially like my favorite of franchise is Arkham Asylum. And Arkham Asylum is a very confined, very defined experience. But in order to make that work, they like really hamper, you know, they really nail down like what makes Batman Batman. Like there's a Predator mode, there's combat mode, there's detective mode, stealth mode, and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a lot of little things they do that does it well. Spider-Man, on the other hand, it's like Spider-Man is like this free-flowing action hero. The combat in Spider-Man is okay, but really the shining point for me for Spider-Man was webbing around the city and doing all the tricks in the air and the ending and using the webs in various ways.
Yeah.
And nothing in the Avengers game made me feel that way. And I think that was... Is that... Because they're trying to, because it's kind of like, it's a multiplayer game. You don't feel like the Avengers because, I mean, partially, right now, like, no, I mean, I didn't get that far. I paid like 3 hours. You still have to unlock characters. So far I have, you played a main mission, which I'm sure everybody has seen at this point because it was at E3, it was at GamesCon, it was at PAX, the opening mission with
the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is actually really fine, but it's also super disjointed because it does play exactly how they showed it. So if you're playing one character, somebody will say something and they swoop in and you play the other character. It's essentially an extended tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, so once you do that, once you kind of open it up beyond that, you play as Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, and the Hulk. And I played with them for about the next hour and a half before I unlocked new characters. And I was just like, okay, this is fine. I went on missions with the two of them, and I'm just like, this, like, you have almost 100 years of comic books, you have 100 years of enemies and locations in Marvel, and like you're fighting in like a random winter stage, like with a snowy stage, you're fighting in random generic abs, you're fighting AIM soldiers, but AIM soldiers don't really have a hook to them. And I'm just like, oh, this kind of just feels dull. Like, you have all of the show, all of this world, all these colorful characters, and you're not doing anything interesting with them. You'll come across, like, I fought Abomination, and that was a really cool boss battle. And that's kind of been it. And then it's like, oh, the boss battle has you do different stuff. Like, you can dodge attacks, and I'm like, it's really cool that you dodge attacks, but the dodge doesn't do anything. Again, I'm kind of used to games where, like, you dodge and it's down time, or you dodge and you build up a combo. It's like, no, you just dodge and you continue pounding away on them. Cosmetic, this is a loot game. It does not offer anything as far, like, you unlock you, but it doesn't change your character cosmetically, so your character looks the same. You can unlock different costumes, but then I'm like, what's the point of the loot? Like, part of the charm of loot is finding something that's really badass or unique. And this one is just like, oh, I have like +5 strength in my arm now. And I'm like, again, it's not a one-to-one comparison because it's a whole different genre. But like, you get Injustice where they had all those different armor pieces you can get for the characters. And you can create like a variation of Batman or Superman. And this one is just like, okay, I have the Hulk, and he has these gamma wristbands now. How do I know that? The game tells me. It does tell me that he has these gamma wristbands.
Like, it's silly that it's even loot, because it's like, at that point, it should just be like, you're getting like upgrades or something that you can apply.
And I mean, that's kind of how they function, but like, okay, the big takeaway from me is like, if they had focus and just made this a really well-defined, like, single-player or even, like, a four-player co-op game, I think it would have been much more better. But the fact that they had to shoehorned into the shooter genre, it does the game a disservice, because you're going through generic environments, fighting generic enemies to create loot that doesn't do anything cosmetic-y. It's it has RPG elements, but it's Fanega very youth RPG, and I'm like, none of this is appealing to me right now. Like, the reason I pay $3 is because I'm just like, oh, I really don't have any interest in firing this up again.
Wow.
Well,
that's a glowing review right there. I'll go back to something Earl said earlier, though. I was thinking back to when they announced that Spider-Man would be exclusive to the Sony console, and yeah. I was thinking, you know, maybe I should like cancel my pre-order and order it on there. And I'm like, but there's no way they can possibly make Spider-Man in this game ever feel as good or as appealing as he felt in that other game that's on the Sony console. And because of that, there's no way I would ever really want to play with him. Right?
Yeah, and
there's no way you'll get that whole like flying through the streets of New York feel. They're just not going to be able to replicate that. It's impossible.
No. Is it like a Diablo type like game? Like, I'm sorry.
I think Diablo might be closer to the gameplay style from what I've seen.
Closer in a sense and closer or not. The other thing that, again, Spider-Man and Arkham are two different beasts, but right. Compared to something like Destiny, Destiny is a very kind of open world. Destiny, you can kind of do stuff as need. Like, you can go, and like you could be, like, there's different planets and stuff in Destiny 2, but you go there, there's different missions too, and you can get there by just walking. This has a hub. So you go back to the helicarrier and you pick missions from there, and then the missions are like, oh, you're going to do a harm room, which is kind of like a training room, or you're going to do one of the story missions, or you're just going to do like a co-op mission. So it's not, it doesn't even have that open world element. It's like, you go here, you pick a mission, you do that mission, come back here. So it also, it feels like, and this is the thing that kind of bothers me again with them being uncreative with it, is like, if you're going to do these micro chasms of, like, if you're going to do these tiny little boxes of gameplay, why not go all out and make these very unique set pieces? Why not make them special? And the thing that kind of turned me off is, like, I was doing the story mission, so it's not even like I was doing generic, like, okay, just go here and this stuff 10 times. I was doing the story missions. I'm like, this is the story mission. You're in a snowy environment as Hulk and Marvel. Fight these AIM agents. Go down into this shield bunker. Fight more AIM agents. Collect the stuff, the mission's over. And I'm just like, that's it? That's all you have to offer me here?
I'm downloading the beta to my Xbox right now as we speak, and it's 28 gigabytes. And I'm like, if there's an open world, why is this so big? Like, what is here that's taking up all of this space?
I mean, it's not a bad-looking game, I guess.
It doesn't look great, though, from what I've seen. I mean, maybe it'll look better on my Xbox.
And I have a PS4 Pro, so I've heard it does not run super great on every system. But it does run well on my PS4 Pro. I will check out the beta again. Like I said, I'm getting the game for free. I said from the get-go I'd get this game because I'm a superhero whore. Mm-hmm, but, I don't deny that. But, like, yeah, I mean, like, and part of it is, no, you go. I went in with an open mind. You do kind of enjoy the opening mission. I think it's really fun. Again, I didn't get to see all the Avengers working together, and there are missions later on where you get to work with them. But it's the same. Oh, here's like a random city street, and here's more AIM agents. How surprising! Right.
Maybe it'll be more when you get like the full game. Like maybe they just didn't bother to give you more than that. Maybe.
I mean, maybe.
I hope. Fingers crossed.
We'll see.
Like I think I'm getting the game. I think I've heard enough where I might enjoy it, and I think one of my kids might like it, so we'll stick with it.
I'm watching the Golden Gate Bridge part like right now. It looks like a third person action game, but just like you can play multiplayer.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is. Okay. But it's not like the top of the line action game. Like if purely based on combat, Spider-Man's more agile. Batman, I think, is a better system in general. Well,
yeah.
This feels closer to a MUA game, the Marvel Ultimate Alliance brand, mm-hmm. Even down to like your characters having specific like super moves that they build up over time. And for the most part, because it's kind of in this mode, a lot of the heroes feel the same. Like, they have their unique style. Iron Man can fly, but again, you can't fly too. I will say this much: the one thing I will say, it gave me that feel that I wanted from Anthem, where like you can fly as Iron Man and actually shoot stuff while flying. You don't have to go into a like that's all I wanted from Anthem, and they couldn't even deliver
that. That is all I wanted to, and no, it's not there. It will never be there. Sorry, Anthem.
So they got an Iron Man, right?
Right. Why doesn't someone just make an Iron Man game? That's all I want.
They did. That. They just said Iron Man VR game. And I think they also made, there was an Iron Man game on the Wii.
There was one on the Xbox 360 also. That was terrible.
I was gonna say, I think people forget the early days of the MCU because there's also a Thor game and a Captain America game.
The Captain America game was actually playable and amusing.
Yeah.
That's one of the bunch that was actually worth playing.
I didn't know there was a Thor game, though. That sounds awful.
Yeah,
There was also the Hulk game, wasn't there?
Yes. But no, there wasn't a Hulk game in Ash Gen. Was there a Hulk game in Ash Gen?
Was that the Gen before? Was that like an Xbox?
That was on the original PS2? Xbox and PS2, I think.
That game was good, too.
There was Ultimate Destruction, but there is a game... I think based off of the Ang-Eve Hulk.
Oh, movie. You're right. There is, yes.
Oh, no.
But there isn't one based off of the Incredible Hulk.
Right. Well.
So, yes. And that was going to be one of my projects during quarantine, but I don't have the money to kind of track down all these things, is I did want to go through and play a bunch of these comic book games I had missed out on. Because there are some decent ones. I've never actually played Deadpool. I've heard good things about that as well. Like Deadpool, Wolverine Origins actually has a good, no, yeah, Wolverine Origins yeah, actually has a really good game.
I've heard good things about that. Yeah,
it's a good action game.
Better than the movie. that was my takeaway from Avengers, is that it had potential. I mean, it still has potential, and I'm sure somebody's gonna be like, oh, but don't you remember Destiny? Yes, Destiny 6 years ago. I remember how that came out, and people complained about Destiny when it came out. People complained about Anthem when it came out. Like, you can't keep on saying like, oh, it got better over time, and every time one of these games come out, we start at square one, because we're not talking about square one. Destiny 2 is now at square 10, where it is feature risk. And as I heard somebody else say, one of the things that Destiny had going for it, aside from being kind of first in its class, is that Bungie still knows how to make a shooter. Shooting felt great in that game.
Yeah.
I would have given Anthem so much more of if the shooting felt like anything in that game. This game feels fine, but honestly, I think if I want my Marvel fix right now, Ultimate Alliance might be a better get for me right now. I mean, I own that.
No.
But as far as it, because I mean, it's not like it's because this doesn't have anything over it as far as like it doesn't have a better combat system, I think. Ultimate Alliance has more diversity in enemy types, it has more characters. I mean, I would go back to one of the older ones where they had kind of had the actual team combos and stuff like that. That was really cool, and I wish they bought those back for 3. But yeah, because I mean, right now, what is it? You get Hulk, Iron Man, Black Widow, Thor, Miss Marvel. I assume Captain America, even though they keep on going on with this "he's dead" thing. If you're on a PlayStation, you'll get Spider-Man. You'll get Hawkeye at some point. And as far as I know, these aren't characters. These are characters that come in eventually.
Spider-Man will be next year, and Hawkeye is sometime in the future.
I think Hawkeye's before him, isn't he?
I think so. I don't know exactly when, but yeah, I think it might be this year. But
it's kind of weird to announce a DLC character before anybody knows whether they like your game or not.
Right.
Well, I mean, that isn't so weird. I mean, it's not great if the game's not, you know, like sparking, but yeah.
Like, you're announcing DLC 2 months before the game comes out. Let me play the game first, please.
It's standard operating procedure at this point.
It depends. Like, if it's an established franchise that you know people are going to play more of, then fine. But if this is the first game of that franchise, prove to me that your game is good first before telling me that I should buy more of it.
I don't.
that Marvel big swinging dick. It doesn't matter.
Like, I don't disagree with Tony's point here, but yeah, I think it's like people are going to buy this and play it regardless. Like, it could be dog shit and people will still play it because
I mean, Earl and I are buying it basically on spec. So
yeah.
It looks fun to me. And like,
I'll get it to play with, you know, with people. Like, just because, like, this fall is looking a little sparse.
What?
I can't imagine why.
Don't worry, it's going to be
fine. I'm sure we won't talk about it at all today.
Games have COVID.
It's going to be COVID. Fine.
Yeah, it's all fine. It's all good.
Just make sure if you buy any game this fall that it supports smart delivery. And it's the version that you buy and not a version that you have to get upgraded for. Because I don't think that's actually in the news for us this week.
No, but I do think we should talk about Control. It's shitty. So $40 for the Ultimate Edition of Control, which will be coming out in 2 weeks. And if you buy that version, you will get the upgraded PS5 and Xbox One, the Xbox Series X versions. So there will be a new version of that game coming out on those systems at some point in the future. And if you buy this $40 new version of Control, you get that. But people who bought the game less than a year ago at this point, and mind you, all the DLC is not out yet for this game. And if you bought the season pass for that, that game was either $80 if you bought the Ultimate Edition or $85 if you bought the base version and the season pass. So this is half the price of that, plus you get the next gen version. This is really shitty.
Yeah, well, if it does anything like the original Control did, if you just wait a few weeks, the price will fall off a cliff.
Yeah, and
you'll be fine.
That's the other thing here. I think that's what maybe pisses me off the most about this, though, is that nobody bought that fucking game. So the people that did and like really liked it, and the, you know, a lot of people did really like it.
Those are the ones who are getting screwed.
The ones that like bought on.
Sorry, Chris.
So shitty. Like,
I think I bought that game for $20 like 3 weeks after it came out. I'm pretty sure.
I think I bought it for $30. And again, I wasn't a huge fan of it, but I get why people liked it.
No, me too. It's not my kind of game, but I understand why people like it. And, you know, I liked of it what I played.
But yeah, this is
really
sucks in every possible way. I can't.
I will say I am glad I did not spend the $25 on the season pass,
right? Yeah.
And I may just wait until the new consoles are out and just buy it there if I buy it at all again to play. I want to play that Alan Wake stuff, but
well, there's probably not going to be a whole lot of other games for the new consoles to buy. So
might be one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, the thing that's so strange, though, is that it's not even like a big enough brand where it's like, if it was like Call of Duty or Assassin's Creed, I'm like, okay, it's a big enough brand where you can screw your fan base over.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a fan base, and the people who supported you are the ones that are like, haha, suckers, this is what you get. So when your next game comes out, I'm going to be like, well, one, like you said, I got the Control for like $15. I've not opened it yet. I got it for $15. I've not opened it yet. Because, it's like, I'm just going to wait for your game to collapse because this is how you treat your day one. You treat your people who supported you for the past year by giving them an inferior version. And as far as I know, they've not come out with any statement being like, because I don't see any reason why it would be unfeasible. I don't see what would be different about the...
There's zero... Like, so I looked into what the Definitive Edition is, and it is literally just the base game and the Season Pass content.
Yeah.
That is it. There's nothing additional here. And the other thing with Control is that even on the One X and the PS4 Pro, it's not the best running game. Like, it runs a little sluggish. So the fact that, like, hey, if I give you $40 now, when these new systems come out. Like, you'll get the version that actually runs proper, like the PC version does. but if you don't give us an extra $40, go fuck yourself.
I get it. And it's like a lot of people are thrown around the E word. And sometimes I get it. I think there are sometimes gamers do act entitled. I really, really don't feel like this is one of those times. Like, I am all for saying that if this was a next gen only version of Control, if it was just like, this is Control enhanced for Xbox One, Series One, and PS5, and you have to buy it new, I'm all for that. That is fine. This is them selling you a Game of the Year edition on the console you already bought the first game on. Yep. And saying, if you buy the SATA version, you can get the new version too. But why can't the people who got the original version, like, people are like, oh, but you know, like, it's more than a year. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, if say Uncharted 4 came out on PS5, I'm not expecting to get that for free. If Uncharted 4 Game of the Year came out this year, and Sony's like, you can upgrade for PS5, but the people who own Uncharted 4 can't, I'd be pissed off. Because what is different about me than the person who's buying it now?
Right, like somebody used an example in a different Discord server, The Last of Us, Part 1. So Sony did a remastered version on the PS4 of the original Last of Us, which came with the Left Behind DLC. I don't have any problem if that's the route they wanted to go, but that's not what they're doing here. They're just selling me the same thing again.
Yeah.
I don't know. And so the other thing on this is, I don't know if it's Remedy. It seems like this is a 505 Games thing. They're the publisher here. And Remedy's deal with 505 for Control was, they, 505 has a 20-year deal with them on this game.
Oh god.
It's like, it's a kind of a shitty deal, but
well, if they just wait another 18 and a half years, they can
do whatever they want with it, right? So I don't know if it's Remedy. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, Remedy sucks on this one, but somebody sucks.
Right. Well, the publisher could have looked at this and said no. So if it was, like, the publisher is definitely in on it. It's just whether Remedy is involved.
But let's get back to what we've been playing. So we got some
other stuff. I was just going to say, like, but this is the first time we've really had this issue ever, right? There haven't been games that have tried to carry over from one generation to the next before.
Well, I mean, there's been games that have, as far as, like,
there's been games that have been on both, but this is the first time where a publisher or anyone has offered that particular game for free on the next system for people who bought the first one.
I remember the 360 and the Xbox One that Assassin's Creed 4 and Call of Duty Ghosts. I remember specifically with Call of Duty Ghosts, if I paid an extra $10, I could get the upgraded version, and it would transfer to the Xbox One. But you had to pay for it. But
yeah.
So it's weird. Anyway.
and to be fair, 110%. We don't. I mean, smart delivery is a Microsoft invention. We know that not every third party is going to support it, and that's fine. That's going to be their prerogative. I think what they did by muddying the water, being like, some people get it, some people don't, that's when you create issues. If they were just like, oh, you can buy it now, but we'll also release a version for PS5 and Xbox Series One next year, I don't think many people would complain as much, because it's like, oh, okay, I'm just going to wait. But being like, get it now, or you can wait 2 weeks and buy this other version that gives you an upgrade, it's just a dumb decision, I think.
What? How shitty is it if you're the dude that just, like, bought Control of the season pass, like, sometime in July?
Right. What? What have you done to me? I just wasted that money.
Oh. Anyway, Jeff, what have you been playing?
Mainly Paper Mario still. How far are you in that, Earl?
I have not picked it up since I, yeah.
My son beat it yesterday.
Oh, really? Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a Paper Mario thing. It's a quarantine thing where, like, so much of my gaming time now is just spent with games I play with friends. That, like, when I actually do want to pick a single player game, it's just like I just don't own a movie, and I'm just like, I just don't want to do anything.
Well, it's like, you know what cracks me up about Paper Mario is, like, anytime I think about it when I'm not playing it, it, like, sounds like homework to me. Like, oh yeah, it's like the game, like, we have to, like, really pay attention to what you're doing and you're solving puzzles and shit the whole time. Like, but then when I start playing it, I'm like having fun. So, like, where did you leave off? Like, you beat the third world?
Yeah, and that's pretty much where I
found it.
I know, everybody tell. Okay. I know, and then the next part is the Wind Waker homage. So, all
right. So, can I say that? Like, am I allowed to say that?
I mean,
like, one of the things I think is great about Paper Mario is that, like, I think everything is really cool about this game. I know some people like think that the regular combat sucks. Like, I think it's cool, and I could like defend why I think that. But, like, outside of, like, the combat, it's like the actual levels themselves are awesome as shit. Like, they have, like, cool themes to the levels, like, cool premises, like, cool puzzles. And then you get to the fourth level, and it's basically, like Earl just said, it's like a tribute to Wind Waker, where it's like that level is like a mini version of Wind Waker, where you're sailing around on the sea and filling out a map, going to islands, and you're solving, like, this big overall puzzle to, like, go fight the boss. And it's, I don't know, dude, like, it's such a cool surprise. Like, I don't know, it's just like, and the game's like, every level is kind of like that, where it's like, oh, this is a neat idea. Like, it just, like, I was going on about this, I think, to you guys, like, earlier, like this game is going to be, like, 5 years from now, people are going to be like, oh yeah, that movie was, or that game was super great, and nobody gave it credit at the time. Because it feels like nobody's playing it, except for, like, well, Earl was playing it with me, but,
I feel like it's kind of got lost in the shuffle. It's not I do. And
it's,
I mean,
really good.
Yeah, and I think part of it is, like, a lot of people are just on Animal Crossing. I do think also a lot of people are just mad at Nintendo right now for
releasing cool games. Like, the only people that, like, the only company that released cool games this year so far. Sorry.
I mean, Sony's released good games.
I guess, yeah, Sony.
And Microsoft is a company.
If you were to say Microsoft, I'm like, I don't know. But yeah, like, I don't know. To me, like, how can you be mad at Nintendo this year? Like, they fucking released one, the new Animal Crossing, and then they, like, kind of just, like, stealth dropped this game in the middle of the summer. Like, and I'm sorry, like, this game is good. It's really good. Like, I think people are missing out on this one.
Nice.
I don't know what else I want to say about it. Like, just, yeah, everything I said about it stands. Like, every time you get to a boss, there's, like, two per level. You're like, it's just so much fun.
Cool. Maybe at some point.
All right, I went for the hard sell. And no one's,
not,
no one's,
it's not on my radar right now. But
I mean, I do feel like the year, oddly enough, it feels like the inverse of usual years. I feel like we're getting closer and closer to the end of the year, and I feel like this has the next stuff to buy.
What?
Yeah,
no,
maybe.
No, there's still so many things coming out.
Like, I've been worried about finishing this up before Tony Hawk comes out. I'm pretty sure I'll be done by then. But the demo for Tony Hawk is out, like, tomorrow, so...
Yep. It's a two-minute demo, Jeff.
I know, it's just, you get to play that first... But it's the warehouse. Like, warehouse, play that. I know it's 2 minutes, but still.
Yeah, it'll be fun. You'll get a good, you know, hour out of it.
Yeah.
More than that. You also played The Tourist, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I played that and finished it. Until you played it and hated it.
I think I'm on the fourth level in it. I don't know how many levels there are. How many are there?
It's not very long.
The game is like 4 hours long.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm like, am I like... Sometimes I think, oh, that means I'm halfway right now or whatever.
There's like seven islands, but not every island has a...
Same length.
Yeah.
The reason I know how long it is, by the way, is because I was looking at how, like, can I force myself to finish this game? I'm like, no, I can't play this for 4 hours.
I think you're being, like, way too harsh on this game. I don't know.
It starts out not great. It's like, oh, what is going on? Like, oh, this is super simple. But I think as it progresses and once you start getting into the bigger monuments and some of the puzzles are really fun and engaging. I think you kind of described it as Captain Toad like in a way.
And I can see diorama that you're looking at. Like every level, it's like this little 3D level, but you can rotate it like 4 ways at all times. You know what I mean? Like, so that kind of reminded me of that. Like, quite the same game. Like, you're doing more involved shit kind of here. Like, it's more of a.
Yeah, I mean, there's platforming involved in this, you're trying to figure out some patterns. And, but I don't know. I enjoyed it. I did not go and do all like the to-do list.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Some of that stuff is not great. It's like, oh, go like some of it you just have to kind of engage with because it's you need to do this to get a piece to allow you to progress to here, or get a piece of a tour guide or something. But like the monuments are the big kind of draw of the game, and I think they're fun, they're enjoyable. Some of them are actually pretty challenging with the platforming, and there's one where you're jumping on these orbs and you have to light them all up to open up the. When you're in the monuments, these like the last part is like this hand that has a piece of something that you need to put it into the first monument you go into. So you need to unlock that, and it's in this stone hand, and so you have to figure out the puzzle to open it. And this one, you're like jumping on these orbs that light up, but if you hit it twice, the orb will explode. You have to light them all up. You have to find the pattern to like actually get it because it spins. Every time you touch one, the thing spins. So you won't be able to make the final jump if you don't hit them in the right order. So it's like it's kind of fun like trying to figure out the different pattern that you need to do to get it to line up correctly, and the jumping is tough because you're jumping onto a ball which is then moving.
The jumping also seems kind of floaty. I don't know.
It's like around the edges you could tell, or just in general you could tell it's like a low budget game, but that's part of why it impresses me. Like I think that the graphics are really cool for what it is. Like
they went with that voxel pixelated look. Yeah.
Like it just looks good, even for that style. But it's like a smart style for low budget. The music's cool. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I'll totally say I would not have like if this was like buy this for $10. I probably wouldn't have done it, but the fact that it was like available on Game Pass, like, yeah, I'll play this. And like, I got past where Tony was and was like, I can see the appeal of this and kind of pushed on and finished it. So,
I'm planning to go back to it. I think if I'm not playing the Tony Hawk Warehouse demo for the rest of my life,
play that instead. Play anything.
I mean, I could kind of see where you're coming from, Tony, a little bit, but it's like, I don't know.
I'm more forgiving when it's like a low budget indie game. As like if this was like a $60 game that I paid for, I'd be like, what the fuck is this? But
I think parts of it come off as like a game like that though. So then like I could see you coming in and going, oh well, this is shit. But like it really is just like kind of a really low budget game, and it kind of like, I don't know, rises above.
Can't even spell tourist right. I mean, let's be honest.
there's a reason for that. So it is explained in the kind of like the final levels of the game.
I guess I'll never know.
Yeah, you'll never know, and I'm not going to spoil it for you. I also bought Destroy All Humans, which is a pandemic game. Well, originally it was.
It's all
that's,
right.
That's so 2004, bro.
Yeah.
Or when did it come out?
I think it was a PlayStation 2 game, so
past that.
2004 sounds right-ish.
I'll find
out. You play as like this little alien dude that is come to Earth to harvest our DNA. it takes place in like the 50s. Everything is like super cartoony. There's lots of like McCarthyism and communism jokes and a little green men, even though he's gray. Consistently, the aliens like they colorblind. Like, I am not green. I am gray. And he has like this snarky attitude, and it's goofy. You know, the weapons are fun. Like, you have like this like lightning bolt ray that shoots out, or a disintegration ray, and you can get into your flying saucer and blow shit up. You can, you know, make yourself a holographic version of one of the humans to like sneak around. So like, it's all fun. Like, it's all goofy. It's $40, so it's not really expensive. It's kind of fun. Like,
I feel like it's a little expensive for like what it is. I don't know. Am I crazy? Like, it should be 30 or less, in my opinion.
I mean, it's a good version of like, and there's a lot to it. Like, there's, so it's not open world, but each of the areas is like this open area, and you can go and do multiple things. There's collectibles to find, and there's different activities to do. Like, there's a race, or you're abducting people, or cows, or you're blowing up cows, or
I'm just saying, like that SpongeBob remake that came out this summer. Like, that was a full on remake, and that was $30. This is not even like, is this even like a serious remake?
It's a full on remake, yeah. It's,
oh yeah. All right, I guess
so. It's not a remaster.
So $10 more.
Yeah.
So $10 more than, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, each it could be 60. Like, they could have been like, hey, we're gonna charge you $60 for this. They didn't, so.
Well, in that case, like, it makes me more interested because it is a full, like, you know, fun redo of it, but.
And it control, like, so I never played the original, but yeah. My understanding is that, like, if you were to go back and try and play that now, like, the controls just do not handle well. And there's, like, some quality of life adjustments here that they made, where you're able to use, like, the triggers. They've redesigned the controls in a way that it plays more like a modern game as opposed to a, you know, a PlayStation 2 game. And it looks pretty good. Like, I mean, it's very cartoony looking. It doesn't look like a PlayStation 2 game. It doesn't necessarily look like an Xbox One or a PS4 game, but it has a very, like, high fidelity to the visuals and everything. It's fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm just playing, like, a couple levels a day. Just kind of, like, piecemealing my way through it. Earl, you play anything else?
Earl's dead.
Oh, no.
Bye, Earl.
Oh, yes. The usual. Played Darkness. I started, I don't know if I mentioned it. I started Monster Hunter Ultimate Generations, which is the Switch port of a 3DS game, I think. Mm-hmm. What else have I played this week? More Torchlight. Fortnite, which we'll get to in a second.
Yeah.
yeah. It's been a pretty stock and standard week. Oh, I did finish Resident Evil Dix.
Yes. Did you just say Resident Evil Dix?
Dix.
Six.
And damn, did it suck. Wait.
I mean, it's very hard to unsee the giraffe getting a blow job in Icon, but outside of that...
Be honest, dude, like, Resident Evil 6 is not that, like, it's bad, but it's not bad. Like, it's fun bad.
It's fun bad.
It's not bad like mechanics. Like once you're used to the mechanics,
there are some bad mechanics in it.
I don't know. I love kicking the shit out of zombies on the ground and shit.
Oh yeah, some of that is fun, and then sometimes it would not work. No, it is fun. It's enjoyable. I honestly would not have beaten all four campaigns if it wasn't. But I finished the game and I was just left with more questions than answers. And not in a good way, as in like, oh man, I just experienced this. It was just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know who thought this was a good idea. It feels like they had a backbone of an engine and everybody else was told, like, okay, you get to make this game, you get to make that game, you get to make that game. And at some point they came together and like, okay, they all have to be in China for the final act. And it's like, how do we get them in China? It's like, I don't know. There are three campaigns where people just show up in China because they have to be. One campaign actually does a Riku thing and it has like them flying over it and that becomes a mission. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, I'm not asking for full-blown scenes, but like, you could have a two-minute cutscene that explains how people get from America to China. Just be like, oh, we're going to hop in on the next flight or something. I don't care, but like, just don't have the characters show up. but yeah, it's enjoyable for the price I paid. I think, like I said, it was like $10 or something like that. It was fun. It was a great way to kill several weekends over this quarantine. I'm happy that I played it. I don't think I'll ever revisit it again. I think me and my friend will go through some mercenaries just for shits and giggles. But yeah, it was a franchise that had lost its way. Or I guess not lost its way. It was a franchise that was clearly trying to appease a bunch of different audiences as to they didn't know what people liked from Resident Evil 1, 2, 3 and Code Veronica. They didn't know what people liked from 4. They didn't know what people liked from 5. They just kind of guessed and be like, okay, we're going to take a pieces of all of this stuff and see if it works together.
What's wild about it is like I think it was like a huge budget game for them. Like they clearly like put a lot into it. Like it's a huge game. Like and like we all just like laugh about it now as the worst one. Like I don't know. It's so funny to me.
Yeah, and I think this kind of goes back to now. Like sometimes you probably Resident Evil 1 has this reputation of being kind of cheesy and over the top, but you could tell it's an ill-budget game, and sometimes it works because that ill-budgetness creates an innovation where this one felt like it had a lot of money thrown to it, and they were just like, oh, we can do everything in this game, and they went for it. They went for everything in this game. Any type of anybody they could think of, they were throwing here. We have the transforming enemies from 4. We have the zombies from 1, 2, and 3. We have the co-op modes. We have like these no-name characters that we're going to introduce. We have this growth trotting storyline where 1 through 5 all pretty much stayed in one location. Where this one's like, oh, we're going to be in China, we're going to be in South America, we're going to be in North America, we'll be on an airframe, we're going to fly down a helicopter, we're going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Resident Evil 6.
I don't know, man. I can't hate it, to be honest. Like, now that I have the distance and, like, there's other games, the series has righted it itself, like, I don't have to worry about it anymore. Like, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. It was, like, the worst end point of where they went after Resident Evil 4, but also, like, I have fun playing it. Like it's not good, but whatever, it's fine. Like, I know it sounds like me apologizing for it, but it's like... It's better than like most games that come out still because of the production values. Like even still,
it's kind of Batman and Robin defense for me, where it's like Batman and Robin can't be a worst comic book movie because from a production standpoint, it's a very great looking movie and it has money behind it. But it's also like, yes, that does not mean that the foundations of it isn't bad.
Bad. It's bad compared to like what you want for a Resident Evil game, etc. But like, it's not like a terrible game. Like, it's not like it's moment to moment. It's fun to play.
It's
like,
not full spectrum warrior, is what you're saying.
There are some shining points. There's some. I think there are some very cool set pieces. There's some interesting bosses and stuff like that. I like how each campaign does feel different. I do like a lot of the ideas. I like more on paper than execution. I like the idea of having three different campaigns that intersect and overlap. And even like I found out that again, like if you can go back and they actually have a way. I don't know if you can view it in an order, but they do have like the cutscenes in chronological order that you can view, so you have an idea of like what was taking place when. The problem is like in the course of the game, it's very a lot of it you cannot kind of understand, but a lot of it is not really told to you well in the game. It's just stuff happens. You show up, kill more stuff on, and then like the very last campaign I played was Ada's, and that was a campaign that was clearly not designed for co-op. Because my friend played as Ada, I played as the backup, which was a random agent. Like, literally, his name was Agent. And you could tell that he was, like, you could tell it was meant to be a single-player affair that they added co-op to. Because, like, my character would not be in cutscenes. My character could not interact with any of the doors or anything in the levels. Ada was the only one who could progress the story, so I was just kind of there to shoot stuff. And I'm fine with it, but you could clearly tell that it was not intended for.
Which campaign was that?
Ada's.
Okay. Oh, that's like the one they added on. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, especially for like the first one you play, like, I think I've only played one or two of the campaigns. Like, it really felt like it was like totally designed. Like the whole time, I was like, I wish I was playing this with somebody. Like, it'd be cooler.
The other three campaigns are clearly designed for co-op. Yeah. They're designed for co-op, no doubt. Ada's is not. And which two have you played? Because it also makes a difference. Because I think Chris is the worst campaign in the game. I think Leon's is kind of fun, and Jake and Sherry is decent.
I played Leon's and Chris's, and like I think I never finished Chris's because like very early I was turned off by it. Like I did not like it at all. So,
but isn't Chris's is very shooter McShooter.
Yeah, it's like trying to do that, and
it is. Man. Except this is not an engine for a shooting game.
Yeah,
exactly.
It doesn't feel right. But like, you know, Leon's is a very like Leon's is very action oriented, and it's very like scripted and shit too. But it's just like I don't know. I think at least Leon's campaign is fine. Like it's just I have fun playing it earlier this year.
I remember that was the one that I thought was okay.
You know, again, bottom of the barrel for the series, but still, like, in my opinion, that puts it above some other things. But we're going on forever about this.
Yes, we are.
I did not mean Full Spectrum Warrior. I meant Rogue Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
Not the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, not the Ultimate Warrior. He would have been better than both Resident Evil 6 and Rogue Warrior. Tony, you play anything else?
Two games. I played a ton of Ghost of Tsushima. The more of that game I play, the more I enjoy it. I think it's fantastic. There are some things in there that are really cool. I like how all of the there's like four side campaign characters, and I was talking last time about how I thought that Jin was a little wooden. Number one, he gets less wooden as the game goes on. He gets a little more sarcastic, and he has some really good emotional moments, which carry out well. And the side campaign characters each reflect an aspect of who he is and the stuff that he's dealing with. So, like, there's one of them that is an orphan, and there's one of them that is a sole survivor of a battle. There's one of them that is desperately seeking revenge against the people who've wronged her. And then there's another one that is struggling with the relationship that he has with his student, and they all really reflect Jin and the things that he's facing, the things he's going through. And it's just really cool how they built that all out. And I think all of those side quest campaigns, because each one is like 9 missions long, are all really well done and really well thought out. Another thing is Earl was saying earlier about how he was getting upgrades in the Marvel demo.
Yeah.
So I noticed when you get like a new set of armor in Ghost of Tsushima, It looks like ass. But then when you go and you upgrade it, it looks better. And when you upgrade it again, it looks even better. So, like, the level of upgrades you have on your armor affect how it looks in the game. Which is something like, okay, you get a new set of armor, of course it looks different, which is how most games work.
Right.
But here, like, even, like, sets of armor have, like, 5 levels. So each set of armor has 5 completely different looks to it. And of course, now I'm starting to get into it. I'm starting to get good at the combat, and I'm starting to look awesome while I'm playing, and that kind of helps too. The game is fun. I mean, this game is super good. It's last time I think I said it was like it was an Assassin's Creed. It's a bit more than that. So
okay,
I'm really getting into it, really enjoying it. The other game I've been playing a lot of Imperator, and I talked about it last time. So on I think it was yesterday. Paradox released a patch for the game, and I don't like it as much now.
Oh, no.
So the patch changed some of the core game mechanics, which, A, broke my save file, so I had to start over. Problem with, you know, strategy games like that and, like, changing core mechanics is that you can't, like, stuff happened and it just doesn't make sense, so you have to start over. And B, the new mechanics make the game really, really I try to play as Rome and conquer all of the Mediterranean because that's what Rome did, so I should be able to do that. And the way the new mechanics are designed, it's really, really hard to expand now. Like, you expand a little bit, and then there's a bunch of mechanics that work together that kind of spiral off each other and make each other worse and worse and worse. So you kind of end up in this, if you expand a little bit too much, you end up in this death spiral where you're, all the provinces of your empire start to hate you and you can't get out of it. And when they hate you, they won't do any trade deals. You can't build any buildings. They start to revolt and make war against you. Like, it becomes impossible to do anything. They did make some interesting upgrades in the patch, but they went a little too far, and I think they didn't balance them very well. So they may have to do some more work here, because the way it is now, I'm not sure how much of more of it I could play. Because I can't do anything now. Like,
right.
I am actually at a point, I'm in like 220 BC, and I have a Roman Empire that is comparable to the historic Roman Empire at that point. But literally every single province I have is disloyal, which means I can't build anything in them. I don't get any tax revenue. I can't, the only thing I can do is, like, build trade routes between provinces, which they also upgraded and is now really fiddly and really annoying. So, yes, this game patched itself. They thought they were making it better, and it seems like it's a big step back.
Well, I hope they fix that for you.
I do too. I want to roll back to before the patch. Let me go back.
I have a trio of games, two of which won't take very long. Well, the other one won't either. But I started playing this game, Observation. It's on Game Pass. It's a space adventure game. Where you are in a space station, you kind of wake up and you don't know what's going on, you don't know where the crew is, and you play as the AI, so you're kind of being given orders by your human crew person that you're there with. So it's like an interesting twist on things, like normally, like games like Tacoma, or I'm trying to think of the other one. Deliver Us the Moon, like those, like you play as like the human character and you're exploring these space stations. This one, you are the AI, and you're like bouncing between cameras on the ship and on the station, or you're in this little like sphere thing, and then you're like hacking into the systems to grant you like access to certain areas. And it's very interesting. Seems pretty cool. I'm not super far in, but I don't think it's super long either, so probably have more to say about that one later. But so far, seems pretty cool. I also played some Call of Duty Warzone. That is the Battle Royale for Call of Duty.
Yeehaw.
Seems fine. The map is like gigantic. It's super huge. There's vehicles in it that you can utilize. It's fun. Like it is a fun battle royale, but I don't know. It's just another one of those. So it's like if you're already playing like Apex or Fortnite, if you're already invested in those, I'm not sure if jumping over to Call of Duty makes any sense for anybody. What I will say about it, though, is that their season pass is not just tied to their battle royale. It applies to everything in the game. So, if you are playing team deathmatch, you're playing regular multiplayer, or you're playing their co-op mode, you are gaining experience and levels in their battle pass as well. So gives you more opportunities if that's something that you're interested in. Also,
but the seasons are like half an hour long, right? How long are they?
This one just started. They just started season 5. So it seems like they're a little bit shorter than like Apex ones, which are what, 12, 13 weeks?
Yeah, Apex is ending its 5th season this week. Yeah.
They're just starting their 5th. They're probably a little bit quicker, but not too much. I think there's like 2 months or so, maybe 10 weeks per season for them. I don't know. I don't know if I want to invest money into their battle pass, though. So I don't really care about the cosmetics in Call of Duty.
Well, I bought the first Apex pass. Uh-huh. I haven't had to buy it since then because they offer enough coins.
Yeah, I did.
Every season that if you get, so you, you don't have to buy it.
You got that Fortnite cycle going.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and it that makes sense, right? Like if you're gonna play one of these games, you kind of pick one, you stick with it because you get enough of the currency in the game as you progress. And it looks like that the same with Warzone. Like if you play all the way to level 100, you'd get enough to buy the next season plus some.
Oh, nice.
I did enjoy their battle royale on the previous Call of Duty. Like I thought,
Blackout,
like yeah, like I don't know. I just think like that type of gameplay. Like I don't know. I just think like Call of Duty just feels really good, anyways. So like to just do that type of game with it.
It does. I also do like that. So like Apex, when you drop down and like you have to go get your armor and stuff. This just has like armor pieces that are replenishable. So like it's not like you drop down and it's like, oh, you have like a super ballistic vest. It's like your ballistic vest is better than the dude over there. Like you just like pick up and you can put in like 2 or 3 pieces. You can actually get a vest, I guess, that has more than that. So like you can get a better vest, but it's not like, oh, you have a purple shield and now you're fucking invincible or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's similar to the shield recharge in Apex, where like these slots that just drop in, like you can get more of them and fix your armor as you play. So there's some cool things. Also, you drop with a gun. So that's neat.
That's nice.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a pistol, but you at least drop with a weapon. It's like, there have been a ton of times where I drop in Fortnite or in Apex, and it's just like, if I'm not playing with Tony in Apex or Wald in Apex, like I drop with some randoms and like they take me somewhere else and you drop and you're trying to get to a supply crate, you just don't get there quick enough and somebody gets there first, you're fucked because like you have no weapon and you're just trying to punch them to death.
Yeah, in Apex it always sucks. Especially that there are times where you like land next to a crate and open the crate and somebody will have landed behind you, just take everything at the moment you open it. Like, fuck.
Yeah. That or the one that still irks me is like when that game came out, drop down in one of the areas and it's one of those areas where there's like 3 supply drops, like 3 crates all at once. Mm-hmm. So like I ran for one. The other guy ran for the other. I opened it up. It was like a helmet.
Yeah, there's no weapon in there.
Yeah, some ammo and like no weapon. It's like, what the fuck? It's like he turns around, just blows me away with a shotgun.
Yeah,
but I got that helmet, so.
Why I always try to land near the edges so you can like,
yeah,
have less of an odds of landing right on top of somebody, so you have time to find a weapon.
Yeah, so that is something that I do love in Apex. So it's like, so you drop with your team in Apex.
Yeah.
Where in Call of Duty, it's like you drop like Fortnite. So it's like you can jump out at the beginning, you can jump out at the end. You don't necessarily have to jump with your team. And if you don't jump with your team, you're basically fucked.
Yeah. I hate an Apex where your teammate like breaks off. Like, where are you going? Where? What? No, don't do that.
You've now screwed us all. Thank you. I jumped back into, and this will segue right into our news. I jumped into Halo Master Chief Collection. I'm not sure why. Like, I had it there. I was like, I'll boot this up. And they had added in like a battle pass type thing. It's not one you have to buy. They just have like a season pass now that provides unlocks as you play. And I did that a while ago, and that was cool. It's just that the only way to upgrade the season pass was to like gain levels. And like, I mean, you guys have played Halo. Once you get up to the higher levels, like experience, like it takes a lot to get to like that next level at some point. And I've been playing this game on and off for what, 5 years now? It's been out for that long. So I am a pretty high level in that game, and it's taken me hundreds of thousands of experience to get to the next level. So upgrading that season pass just wasn't happening. They started their second season, which seems like it's all unlocks for Halo CE, not any of the other games. But in addition to that, they've also added in challenges. So there's weekly challenges for both PvP and PvE. And you'll get unlocks through that. And there's also season-long challenges, like, you know, get 500 pistol kills or whatever, and you'll get three tokens to unlock stuff. And unlike in Apex or Call of Duty, where their season pass, like once the season's over, like that stuff's gone, you can go back and still unlock stuff from the previous season.
Oh, that's cool.
So like I have like 30 some levels in season one, but there was like stuff I wanted in season one to get. I can use the unlock tokens that I'm earning now and go back and buy them there or in the new season two one. So I thought that was a cool addition. And I'm hoping they add a Halo 5 into there, so we just have, you know, all Halo in that game.
I mean, Halo fans need to face something this year.
That's right. They're not going to play anything else.
Yeah, because we're not playing Infinite. Do the news.
How long does it take to make a game now? I mean, honestly, it's been, what, 5 years since the last Halo?
Yeah.
So this means if it doesn't come out this fall, then it's going to be like 6 years between Halos?
Yes.
It's like crazy too, because it like looks like just like Halo, like nothing, like, you know, it looks like a Halo game. Like, it looks
cool. I mean, that may be the feedback that they got and why they delayed it, right? They're like this needs to look better.
Nothing's going to be fixed in like it's not going to be like, oh, this whole brand new experience in 1 year. It's just gonna be better looking and like,
yeah,
better all around. It's not gonna be about
years. I'm thinking like March. You folks are pushing this to like November of 2021.
I'm pushing forever.
When they made this announcement at all, I was thinking, yeah, like maybe early next year, March, April. But I've been hearing some talk because like next year is the 20th anniversary of Halo.
Yes.
And I guess that was a November release. So people are speculating that they will release Halo Infinite. There's nothing to back that up other than, you know, it is the 20th anniversary and, you know, you could tie it to the original release date, but...
Yeah, you can't tie it to the original release date now. You can't delay it a full year because then that just creates... I mean, it's already creating bad press, but yeah, that just creates more issues. I don't know because what this was announced. This wasn't announced at SES E3. This was announced at E3 2018, right?
I think it might.
Yeah, probably
2018.
Oh my
yes.
God! It's like it's their core franchise. It is like they have access to all of the systems, everything that they could have possibly needed to get this game out sooner. Every resource that Microsoft could have provided, and they still couldn't do it.
It's like Mario 64 getting delayed. Like it's just like, where's your fucking game? Like where's your game?
To be fair, Mario 64 did get delayed. I mean, it was part. It's getting the N64 was originally intended for 1995, but
Yeah, but like, dude, when the system came out, there was a fucking game, and it was amazing.
It's not even necessarily a big deal if they were. There's nothing else for them at launch. Like, it's not like.
They needed that like Obsidian game.
That is not coming. That's like 3 years out.
I know. Yeah. They needed something like that. Like they should have been. That should have been like.
Even that would not have been like a system seller. It does not. That does not have the cachet that a Halo has.
No, not the. I mean, there's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing.
Maybe.
There's nothing in there. There's nothing in their war chest that has that. That Halo thing. There's nothing that like the closest you could get would be Gears 6, but Gears just came out last year. And maybe they've tried to like make a Gears 5 port. I mean, there is a Gears 5 port coming, and maybe Gears Tactic. But it huge gap in their lineup. And I mean, part of it is kind of like what Jeff said. It's like at this point, why not just push the system back to 2021?
To me, that makes the most sense because, like, Forza also not coming out this year. Like, so your biggest,
your only thing. what else is there?
Madden 2021.
You're buying a new. I mean, a lot of people probably do.
I mean, like the medium is evidently like a launch game, and like there's some like cool stuff, but it's not marquee first party stuff.
Right. It's all the third party stuff. Like if you're like a Call of Duty Xbox bot, you're fine. If you're like a sports bot, you're fine. But
it's just like I just feel like there's nothing in terms
of other stuff.
The company that puts out the system has to have one big game. Like that's like, hey, this is our big game that you get.
Sony doesn't really have a big game either. So it's kind of
the same I don't think you need to. You just need to have a somewhat interesting launch lineup. Because what was the big PS4 title? Knack?
Something, dude. Like stop. Like here's new games.
I get that. I'm not agree with you. Yeah, I was about to say, but it doesn't hit because like PS3. PS3 was a war, not Warzone. What was it? Yeah, and was that also Killzone?
Yes.
Was Killzone 2 launch?
It was either Killzone or Resistance.
Resistance.
There you go. Resistance was the launch.
And then like, PS2 had the bounce, and I honestly don't remember what else it had.
Unreal Tournament. 2000.
So yes, I mean the only company that I think has to have a marquee on title is Nintendo, and that's because Nintendo's first party sells its hardware. So you know Zelda, Mario. I mean, really, it's between one of those two. You need that. I mean, to be fair, Wii sold off with the backs of Wii Sports, but that is a once in a lifetime game. But yeah, it's one of those things where there was
a launch title, there was a new Zelda, like you know.
I'm saying though,
cover your fucking bases. Like
it was New Super Mario Brothers U and Nintendo, and there's a reason the Wii U is not fondly remembered.
Yeah, like I mean, I like New Super Mario Brothers U, but
and I like Nintendo, and I think both of them
are
good games.
That was a new Mario, dude. It was at least like you know what I mean, like. there's a game. Like
right.
I thought yeah, that was pretty good.
You're not wrong.
Mario 2, you know?
I mean, yeah, I think it's the best of that new Super Mario Brothers series. But
yeah, but I it's mean, kind of... Yeah. There are... Like Chris said, you know, the medium's coming out and there are going to be titles, but there are titles which there are titles that are system sellers and there are titles that I consider backup hitters. The titles that are like, oh, this is great once you're in the ecosystem. And I think a lot of franchises fill that gap. For Nintendo, for example, I think Kirby does a great job of that. I think Yoshi does a job of that. I would say, you know, I would even say Metroid fills that gap. Microsoft has stuff like Crackdown, and I think a lot of Rare games, I think Sea of Thieves is a title that I wouldn't necessarily buy a console for, but it's really nice to have if you are invested in the ecosystem. Sony, I would say stuff like Knack, I would say stuff like Ratchet and Clank. Are really great stuff once you're invested in the system. They're not necessary. And that's and I know there's somebody like, oh no, I bought my PS4 just for Ratchet and Clank or whatever. Like, yeah, there are going to be people who buy the system for that stuff. But looking at sale numbers overall, it's either a game people buy because they have the system, or it's a very diehard fan base. Like again, Metroid, none of the games have sold over 2 million in that franchise. So it's not like it's not going to be the game that, you know, like Breath of the Wild is almost at 20 million. There's a huge gap in those two numbers. And Microsoft doesn't have that. Like, I would.
Halo's that game, right? Like,
yeah. And that's always been Microsoft's problem, is that they've never expanded really beyond Halo and Gears of War as being that franchise. They've tried.
I would probably. I would almost argue, too, that, like. Actually, I probably should say this because I don't know. Like back, like years ago when I worked in the game industry, like Halo seemed to die down a little bit. But I don't know. It almost seemed like Gears of War was bigger, like a bigger deal at some point than Halo. But I don't know. I'm sure Halo's still pretty big overall. And
well, I mean, if you look comparatively, like Gears and Halo both dropped off, you know, a little bit. From not it even was, a little bit, a lot from top tier. So,
but the games are still awesome, and they still have like still pretty huge fan bases. So, like,
yeah,
I didn't want to sound like I was disparaging them. I was just saying I just remember being like, why is like a Halo launch not as big a deal as Madden? Like, that's how weird it was. Like, anyways,
yeah. I mean, I guess like the last really big Halo launch was like Reach, right? Like
when I was working at GameStop, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a decade ago.
But that was like a great Halo game, and it was like very muted response. It was like 25 people showed up at midnight, you know.
But here's the thing, and this is a double-edged sword, is I don't necessarily think you need, like, if you're, because like, I think Halo is one of those games that kind of continues to sell throughout time, because, like, if you look at it on paper, Mario's not a big seller. Mario, like, when a new Mario game comes out, it's not like it's a game where hundreds of people line up at midnight to get it, but at the end of the year, it's going to be one of the best-selling games, if not one of the best-selling games of all time.
Like, back in the day... Sorry.
I think Pokemon falls in the same camp. Mario Kart falls in that camp. Minecraft falls into that camp. One of them. But then there's games on the other end of the spectrum, which is what you want for launch. You want that excitement, which is why, like, we talked about New Super Mario Bros. U. Great game. Actually sold decently on the Wii U, but it's not the game that people were excited to go pick up a new system for.
Right. Well, we're not getting Infinite.
No.
We are getting the Xbox Series X sometime in November, though.
November. Man. Now give me a price and right let me pre-order now. It. For the love of God.
Well, I think they confirmed that their launch window is November. So
yes, they did confirm November. But goddamn, just give.
Like, yeah, you're not wrong. Like, because like what 2 weeks ago they did show Halo Infinite, and
everything is going to fall apart. So
Well, and the funny thing is, and again, I hate to tie this up. This is kind of why I was saying, I think, you know, like, people have gotten on Nintendo and stuff. But this is the reason that like, a lot of people have been hesitant of showing stuff, because you don't want to show something. And then you come back 2 weeks later and be like, sorry, guys, we were wrong. This isn't coming out this year, as we promised you 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, folks. We had an issue this week with our recording bot in Discord, Craig, or some server issues, and Craig would not connect. At the end, he dropped off, and we could not get him to reconnect onto the server, so we were unable to continue our show. So, unfortunately, it just kind of drops out right here. We will be back next week. Hopefully, Craig will not cause us problems. And I'm going to look into, as well, having a backup solution. So, thanks, as always, for listening. Good night.